show.
All right. Now, I know there's a lot of people. I'm going to tell you a true story, and we're going to introduce our guest. All right. I know there's a lot of people in this boat. All right. So a while back, I'm going to be taking a trip somewhere later this year. And it's too far to drive, so we're going to fly. All right. And, of course, I get online, start checking the things. I'm like, holy mackerel, how much? That sort of thing. And there have been other stories in the news about airlines and safety and shoes and all this other stuff. Like, ah. So recently I came across an organization called Affordable Skies. It took me about 2 seconds to sign up. Like, I want to be part of that. And so I reached out to them. I'm thinking, God, I'd love to have them on the show. And our new friend Jennifer Rikoszewski replied and said, hey, let's talk. So, hey, that's the name of our show. What a coincidence. So, Jennifer, first off, good morning, and thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Scott. Thank you for having me on today, and I'm quite glad that you found us. This is exciting.
I'm trying to actually, Jennifer, I'm trying to remember where I saw the reference. I'm guessing social media someplace. I just as soon as you had me at the word affordable, okay, you had me. Boom,
you're enough.
It's a well-named organization. So, Jennifer, I got a lot of questions for you, but let's start from scratch if we could. All right, tell us something about yourself. You know, like what is your background in airlines and so on, and then tell us about your group called Affordable Skies. What you are, what you're trying to do, and so on. So tell us about you, and then tell us about the group.
Yes, so a little bit about me. So I have a background in political campaign management, and I'm helping business startups. And a few years back, I started working on a special project with an aviation industry leader. And after that project ended, this opportunity came for me to start Affordable Skies. But throughout that time working with that leader, I really got to learn about commercial aviation and just aviation consumers as a whole. And one thing I noticed that was a missing link in the aviation industry was consumer representation. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, how are consumers not represented here, especially when it comes to affordable pricing? So last December, we launched the organization, as you know, Affordable Skies, and our mission is quite transparent. What we do is we advocate for safe and affordable air travel for all Americans. Our focus areas are on research, education, and advocacy, and everything we do ties back to those three pillars. In addition, we champion policies that, one, promote competition, lower costs, and three, protect consumers' rights to safe and affordable air travel. So you can look at it this way. We're creating a community of consumers who want to keep airfare affordable. These folks care about the health of our travel ecosystem, and we want to continue to see these opportunities for them to go places at affordable rates.
All right, now your website, it's all one word, affordableskies.org. And there's a lot of good information on there. Now, Jennifer, you mentioned you speak for the consumer, if you will. There's a page on your website. I can't remember exactly which one it is, but I clicked on it and I saw, oh my gosh! I think it was some there. You folks sent a letter recently to some, I guess, politicians or something, and there's all of these other organizations, essentially, along with your group, trying to, you know, tell Congress, hey, something needs to change or something needs to happen here. I don't know, the Southwest Pilots Association or something. I had no idea there were that many. Who are all these other groups? I mean, there's a ton of groups out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are. And so what this is about is supporting the modernization of our nation's air traffic control system. With our mission statement being we advocate for safe and affordable air travel, this is a safety component, right? And unfortunately, it took a tragedy to wake up and push for this sort of change, and that was, unfortunately, the DCA midair collision back in January. After that, you know, politicians stood up and said, we need to do something about this antiquated air traffic control system. And so that's what this is about. It's about modernizing the ATC.
Jennifer, I guess I'm confused, I guess. We're the United States of America. We're the richest country on earth. We have airplane flights seemingly going everywhere. How on earth do we, because I've seen the stories too, how on earth do we have an antiquated air traffic control system, in some cases apparently using equipment from, I don't know, the 1970s or something
that?
Give the background on this. Air traffic control, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, they still are using floppy disk, right? So this is a problem. I mean, they've been trying to change this system for decades. For decades they've been trying to change this, but have they achieved that? No, not yet. And now they're working towards achieving a system that is sustainable and up to date and doesn't use floppy disks and that can support our community and our environment. So just think of it this way. Public trust is on the line all the time. You have folks sitting in a metal tube at 30,000 feet, and now people are scared. They're scared that they're unsure that it's safe. We've gotten this far. We've taken it this far, right? Something should have been done a long time ago. But the good news is something is being done. The changes are being made. The DOT Secretary Duffy is making changes. Brian Bedford, the FAA Administrator, is making these changes. So I feel very confident it will be more safe and that consumers won't be so concerned about their safety moving forward.
I mean, seriously, Jennifer, there are systems out there, big official systems, still using floppy disks? Really?
Yes. It's very unfortunate. It was shocking for me to learn this. You would think us being, as you mentioned, the United States of America, that things would be much different and more high-tech and up-to-date. And no, that's not the case when it comes to the air traffic control systems.
Unbelievable.
So it's going to take several years for the changes to be made. I was reading an article yesterday, and they officially launched a search for an integrator to fix the air traffic control system. So revealing in, I believe, procurement documents last week that the contract winner will have I think it was 3.5 years to fix the antiquated systems powering our aviation management. So we'll see where we're at in 3 years.
Now, Jennifer, are these problems literally everywhere? Like, for instance, where we are, all right, State College Airport, nice, small, very small airport, okay? I've been to O'Hare, I've been to Hartsfield, I've been to Dulles, I've been to BWI, Philadelphia. In other words, big airports. These problems are everywhere or just maybe certain places?
I mean, they're everywhere. They're part of the air traffic control system, so it would be all around the United States. But I would say the focus areas are at the larger airports.
Okay. Now, let's get a little background again. Who's in charge here? All right. You mentioned a minute ago the Secretary of, I guess, Transportation and the FAA,
correct,
which I've heard of the FAA, but I really don't know what they do. Who are the people ultimately in charge here? This is all government stuff? There's no private stuff? Who's really in charge here?
Those folks, the DOT, Department of Transportation, and the FAA. So it would be those that leadership and also Congress, politicians in Congress are in charge to ensure that, this moves forward. What you mentioned about that letter that you saw on our website, that is a coalition called Modern Skies, and it's a group of a whole bunch of organizations that are supporting this modernization. So it takes a lot of political power to push something forward, correct? So that's what we're trying to do, is we're ensuring that, you know, this does, the ATC does get modernized in a reasonable amount of time, and it does take a while, right? So they're looking at 3.5 years for changes to be made, and we're hopeful that those changes will get made, but we're watching it like a hawk. You stay on top of this, the changes get made. So our organization is focused on this safety component, and we are not going to stop focusing on it until safety is number one.
Now, not to scare people, all right, folks, but I'm sure somebody listening to us chatting this morning might be getting on an airplane literally today to go somewhere. Jennifer, should they somehow be concerned? I mean, we don't have airplane crashes like every day, every week, every month, thank goodness. I mean, should they somehow be concerned, like, boy, I don't know if I should do this? I mean, is it that bad? I mean, if you're talking to a regular traveler right now, what would you tell them?
So air travel is one of the safest modes of transportation out there. It's safer than driving in a car, hopping on a train, so it's very safe. So I wouldn't be concerned about that, but just know we are working towards a system that will be much better with less concern moving forward.
All right. Now, I took a trip to Europe a couple of years ago. Are they having these same issues in other places, or is this a uniquely American thing?
This is uniquely American.
So the other countries are doing great.
Yeah, I mean, politicians in the past have actually gone to Australia and parts of Europe and have overseen there how they run their air traffic control systems, and they know how they run them, and their systems are running really great. But we are at a point where our system is not, and we need to make these changes. And again, like going back, Scott, changes should have been made a long time ago. But we're now at a point where changes are going to finally get made.
Okay. Obvious question, Jennifer. Why didn't this get handled a long time ago?
Probably a financial reasons, Congress. There was no scare. There was no mid-air collision like what happened last January. That took a tragedy to wake people up and say, hey, we need to push for change. That's really what it took.
How much
to create change here,
Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
How much of this is political? All right, we talk some politics, obviously, on mm-hmm. the show, left side, right side, all this stuff. How much of this comes down to politics and people just not getting stuff done?
All of it, 100%.
Okay, folks, there's your good news for the day. Don't be surprised. All right. Now, I mentioned when we started our chat here. Again, I went online, this is a while back, to find some airfares, and I'm just like, holy mackerel, this is getting really expensive to not take some ridiculous flight, just a flight. First off, am I right, Jennifer? Just airfares just keep going up and up and up? And if that's the case, are there reasons why? Is there one reason, a dozen reasons? What's going on here?
Well, it's a volatile market, right? And we know that travelers are price sensitive. And first of all, let's go back to this. The leisure travel is often the first expense that families cut when budgets tighten. So it is. It's a volatile market now, as we see today. But there are challenges that present sort of increase in costs. And I'll sort of highlight some of those. So aircraft delivery delays and engine inspections, those limit capacity, which drive up fares. Pilot shortages and rising labor costs. That puts additional pressure on ticket prices. Tariffs on aircraft and parts, those add further costs. But then you go to the government policy side, that plays a role as well. And we're very much watching that. So, for example, taxes and fees, those disproportionately impact low-cost tickets. There's environmental mandates. They're important but expensive, and those trickle down to costs that consumers pay. And then there are slot restrictions at major airports limiting competition and key prices high. So when you go to our website, affordableskies.org, you'll see a policy page. And on that page, you'll see a piece of legislation that we are championing. One's called the Airport Gate Competition Act. And what's great about this legislation is it prevents airlines from blocking competitors through long-term gate leases, because more competition means lower fares. So competition is good. We are promoting competition. We want competition. We don't want to see airlines exit the market, because once that starts to happen, air prices go up, ticket prices go up. So it's quite interesting. So, I mean, there's ways to look at for affordable air travel, like on Google Flights. If you're looking for affordable options, that's a fantastic tool. It not only shows you the cheapest days to fly, but it also lets you track when prices change so that you can snag the best deal.
And that would be from anywhere or just certain airports, Jennifer?
That's from anywhere. You can look anywhere.
So even small airports would show up on that?
Yes, if they have commercial air travel service.
Okay. Now, again, State College is where we live. State College Airport, nice airport, small, nice. At one point, they had four airlines flying out of there. Now they have two. Mm-hmm. One of those that left was Delta, which is a big airline, all right? And you kind of touched on it a minute ago. One of the main reason we were told why Delta got up and left is they didn't have enough pilots. I think mm-hmm. you mentioned that a minute ago. Is that still an issue?
Yeah, that's pilot shortages, yeah, and rising labor costs. Those really put pressure on ticket prices, and it's one of the factors that go into this sort of equation that plays into the cost of air travel.
Now, we've been waiting for Delta to come back, and as you can tell by my tone of voice, we're still waiting. I mean, is this going to be a problem that's just not never going to end? They're never going to have enough pilots? Is somebody doing something to try to get more pilots in cockpits to fly more planes? What's going on there?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the pilots union, so we would have to check and look into what's happening there. There are other factors that weigh in on this. Maybe there's just less of a demand in that area. There could be other varying reasons why. But, yeah, there's a pilot shortage issue currently going on.
Here's a silly question. What do you have to do to become a pilot? I mean, in other words, where do you go? How many hours? How does somebody become a pilot?
Well, you would have to go to pilot training school and go through their training courses. And I believe like certain airlines have a certain a restriction on how many hours. I would have to look into that for you. And then you have to get your training through the airlines, and then you could be a pilot. But it's not cheap to become a pilot.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you got to pay big money just to get licensed or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a process.
Wonderful. I mean, do you know off the top of your head, Jennifer, like the average age of a pilot? Are these older people? Are there younger people? I mean, we never get to look. You know, in the old days, you could actually look in the cockpit and, hi, Mr. Pilot, how are you? Or, hi, Miss Pilot.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they close the door and you don't see anything. I'm just, pilots, who are these people, essentially, in general? Young, old, what are they?
No, I mean, they're a mix. They're a mix of varying ages. The average age overall is, I believe, 43. The male pilots or flight engineers, their average age is 44. I believe the female pilots' average age is 38. So between 38 and 43.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, I'm just curious, Jennifer. Now, this is, oh, boy, this was 25 years ago. So not anytime soon. 25 years ago, I was supposed to take a flight from State College to Pittsburgh and then someplace else, okay? And we didn't take the flight because the flight attendant didn't show up, all right? This was a small plane, one flight attendant. The flight attendant didn't show for some reason. The flight got canceled. All right, pilot shortage. Is there a flight attendant shortage by chance, too? What about that?
I mean, that can happen, yeah, especially if it's a smaller aircraft. You have one or two flight attendants. Unfortunately, if one gets sick and they can't fill in that spot, that could happen.
But right now, is there a flight attendant shortage, like pilots?
I haven't heard much about that, no, so I haven't,
okay.
You know.
All right. All right.
There are enough flight attendants out there.
All right, good. I just remember this 25 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, we're canceling the flight. The flight attendant's not here. And I'm like, I don't need a soda.
Oh,
can I just get on the plane and go? No, I had to take a later flight that had a flight attendant. Oh, for goodness sakes. All right, we're going to take a break. Again, our guest is Jennifer Rikoszewski from Affordable Skies. And again, folks, you don't have to, but I signed up, which means I gave my email address. And so I get messages now. AffordableSkies.org. If you want to find out information about, hey, can I get a decent fare? Check this out. All right. We're going to take a break. We have some more questions for Jennifer coming up, especially like safety issues and airline security and stuff like that. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golick, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We'll have some open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
All right. Talking U.S. aviation, the good, and yeah, apparently a lot of bad. Talking to Jennifer Rikoszewski from Affordable Skies. Again, great website, a lot of info there. AffordableSkies.org. And if you want to, you can sign up for their email list. Or you're not paying anything, just give your email address and get some good information there. All right, now, Jennifer, my buddy Jeff here is actually more of a frequent flyer, I think, than I am. All right, Mr. Wrestling. Now, you don't book your own stuff, or does Penn State do that, or do you do that?
I do not do that.
You don't do that.
I mean, I do not for the wrestling, no.
Okay, all right. Well, come on. I know you've got a question or two.
Ahead. Yeah, a couple of things. I think it's almost impossible if you fly with any frequency to not notice some of the accommodations that have been cut down on when it comes to food, or now even with the baggage and you might get a snack now, but you used to get some more stuff provided, and we didn't have the baggage fees and all of that. I'm just wondering, generally speaking, because I'll just speak for myself, I would rather that stuff just get rolled into, give me the ticket price and roll that stuff into it. And I get I understand not everybody's using that. Oh, okay. But take the percentage that are, or whatever, and just, I would rather not have that stuff broken down bit by bit. Generally, consumers, we're just used to it now. It's not a big deal. Or do you hear complaints about the baggage fees and the, on flight food and beverage?
Oh yeah, we hear complaints often, and but ultimately the consumers have the freedom to choose how they would like to fly. For example, the low fare airline sector, you do pay for baggage, you do pay for a beverage on the aircraft, but some of these consumers, they go on, they buy their ticket for $38, and that's all they wanted. They wanted to get where they're going just with that ticket price.
Yep.
They really didn't want anything else. So it's really the freedom, again, the freedom to choose how you would like to fly. But I understand your point of just, hey, just make it one package deal. What is this going to cost me? I don't want to get to the airport and have to pay baggage fees and then get on the aircraft and have to purchase, whatever it is that they're offering. So I understand your statement there, but yes, consumers are sort of mixed about that.
Okay.
Some really love the freedom of choose if they want to purchase a bag, and others do not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to get out my credit card if I'm on a flight. Hey, can I have a sandwich? Here's my credit card. I hate that. I just like, come on. And I get you see the look in the flight attendant's face like, yeah, she doesn't look too thrilled either for having to do all that. Like, could we just fly the plane? All right, let's talk about safety here a little bit. On the whole, Jennifer, right, TSA, those are the folks that you go through the metal detector or that scanner gadget or whatever, and they look at your bag and all the. How is TSA right now? That's a government organization. I mean, are they doing okay? Are they shorthanded? I mean, how are they doing right now?
They're doing great. And, you know, it's exciting is as of July, just this last July, passengers no longer have to remove their shoes at TSA checkpoints. And that's that. Yeah, that's thanks to upgraded security imaging like CT scanners. So that this milestone is has come a long way since the post-9/11 protocols.
Jennifer, to your knowledge, okay, I can't remember the dude's name, the shoe bomber guy from 20-something years ago or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
mm-hmm.
had the mandate, you got to take off your shoes. Oh,
shoes,
God, I hated that. Ugh, I'm not going to miss that 1 ounce. Was there ever one instance in 20-something years where somebody tried to do something with their shoes? Was there one after this idiot terrorist guy?
No. I mean, not that I've seen. Not that I have come across.
I mean, I'm just wondering if we took our shoes off for 20 years for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have got to be thinking that.
Yeah, it became sort of that new norm. Like, it was just expected. Of course, frustrating, but expected.
All right.
But, hey, again, good news. You don't have to do that anymore.
It took
20 years, right? Over 20 years for that to happen, for the change to be made.
Nobody's invented a shoe scanner or something like that. Like, I can keep my shoes on and walk through and it tells something? There's no such gadget?
Yeah, no, they didn't go that route. They didn't go that route. They wanted to go bigger and make those big CT scanners that you had to stand in. So, different approach.
All right, so the good news is I get to keep my shoes on, all right? For folks maybe that haven't been to an airport or flying in a while, when they go through the security line, is it the same as it's been for a long time, or are there some other changes maybe going on there?
Yeah, you know what? TSA has been working to streamline checkpoints. For example, they have the touchless ID, which is that sort of traveler verification service, and I believe that's at over 14 or 15 airports. Now do that. They use that facial recognition instead of showing a physical ID or boarding pass. So that's what they're doing also, just to sort of streamline the process to move the travelers through more efficiently.
Okay, let me, I read this, I guess it's a change or something, but you go to security and you have to show them your ID, my driver's license, and I have to show them my boarding pass. Either a piece of paper or now I usually have it on my phone. Is that the same? I thought I read something somewhere that's been kind of streamlined a little bit.
Yeah, that's being streamlined to that touchless ID, the pre-check traveler verification service that's at over 14 airports. So you can use facial recognition instead of showing a physical ID or boarding pass.
Okay. Now that's pretty much just walking in. You still have to put your bag through the scanner thingamajig or whatever, and you still have to walk through a metal detector and put your hands up for 3 seconds or whatever the heck it is.
That's changed.
The same, right?
Yep, that's the only real major win here has been you don't have to remove your shoes, but all those other things you have to do.
Okay. Now this has never has it? This has never happened to me where periodically somebody in line just gets pulled aside by the TSA people, and then they, I don't know, have a chat with them, or let's go over here to this private spot. We're going to pat you down and so on.
Yeah.
Is that a random thing that they have to do, or do they have some tick off like, hey, that guy, that Jeff guy looks awfully suspicious. We better pull him over.
How does that work exactly?
I think it's more so random, but if someone does look suspicious, perhaps maybe security guard there or, you know, or someone else that saw, you know, or believe that that person seems suspicious, they may pull them aside to check them. But I believe it's more so random at these airports.
Because I guess I've always wondered if those TSA folks are looking us over when we're standing in the line. And they see my friend the Ironhead here, and it's like, okay, the guy's been shaved in several days.
Shifty eyes.
He's got shifty eyes. We need to pull him aside.
You're over here, sir.
You're saying it doesn't work that way, right?
No, I don't. I don't think it works that way. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so, I mean, but, you know, they will get you in the most random times. I remember years ago with my older sister and her first baby, of course, her baby would cry all the time. And, like, then, of course, she gets put through additional, you know, checkpoints. So I had to hold her daughter and just the whole time screaming. I'm like, why out of everyone they choose my sister? Like, come on. Like, then it just, it was just an inconvenient time. But it's very random.
Do you know, one of the things that I just find curious, and I'm guessing it just has to do with the equipment that various airports have, but at some places, like they are, like anything electronic, you must take out and you must put in a separate, like, you can't put your phone and your laptop in there. That's ridiculous. And then I go to other airports, they're like, what are you doing? You don't need to take that stuff out. I'm like,
I know.
Well, that the last airport I just checked through, we had to take everything out. No, just leave it in and let us scan. Okay. Is it just the caliber of equipment that the different places have? Do you know?
I believe it could be either the caliber of equipment or it could be just sort of their process at that airport. That's their standard at that airport.
It is just fascinating what at some places.
It's happened to me too. I believe the same thing has happened. Exact example has happened to me. So
yeah, and
I understand.
The other thing that is, and this is just a curiosity, but I do the radio broadcasting for wrestling. So for years, we on the commercial flights, the radio equipment would go through. And again, it was just always interesting to me. Some people would be like, you know, just it comes through. It's like, all right, pick that up on the other side. Other people would be like, hey, what is this? Like, well, it's radio equipment, and they'd rifle through. And, I mean, everybody was okay with it. But, like, again, at some places, it's just like, yep, go on, get out of here. We know what it is, or we don't care what it is. Or at other places, like, all right, well, wait, what's this specific thing? It's like, well, that's the connector to the microphone, and that's the – it was just always interesting to me. Again, different places just had different levels of concern with the equipment and the tape recorders and all of the different things that were in there. And, I, you know, it's a kind of the same thing even now. It's like just different places will pick up on different things. It's like, hey, that needs to be separated. Mm-hmm. And others are like, yeah, just throw it all in the one bucket. Some places want, like, your coat needs to be in one. Your shoes, need to be in another. I'm like, all right, so I need, like, six different bins. And then other places, like, no, just get your bag through. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was at an airport once, and a lady in front of me had to put her jacket, of course, in, you know, through the scanner. And she's like, why do I have to put this jacket through the scanner? I was at the LAX airport last week, and they didn't have me put the same jacket through the scanner. And I remember the agent said, well, we do things differently here.
Yeah.
Put your jacket through the scanner. So, yep.
So you didn't just joke with them, like, yeah, this is electronic gear. I put this together. It makes a bomb.
What?
No,
you didn't
do that?
No, oddly enough, I did not.
You didn't joke with them?
No, for some reason that never occurred.
That would have went over like a lead weight. Uh-huh. All right. Now, Jennifer, there's tons of surveys and polls and whatever. Let me ask you, what are the best American airports? And you can define what best means. What are the best air? Because I keep hearing a lot of complaints about American airports. I can say I've been to some European airports. They're like, wow, this is really nice. Okay, this is great. What are the best American airports out there, in your opinion?
Hmm.
Well, I have a survey that I can show or just tell you about that we did with consumers, and we asked them what their best or favorite airport was when they're traveling, and one was Rhode Island, the TF Green International Airport. Another one was the Portland International Airport. That seemed like to be a fan favorite.
Portland.
And another one, Portland, yeah.
Portland is in Oregon, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, Portland, Oregon. All right, go ahead.
And then another one was, I believe it was, I don't have the research in front of me. I believe it was Indianapolis International Airport as well.
All right, I've never been to that one. All right.
Yeah. And then others mentioned were Detroit Metropolitan. What is that, Wayne County?
My favorite. Detroit. I love Detroit.
Yeah.
I'll bet Philadelphia does not show up highly on a lot of those lists. Just a guess.
Jennifer, you know anything about Philadelphia?
I don't. You know, tell me.
Unless you're looking to get rid of your luggage. If you're trying to, I don't want this luggage anymore. Boy, that might be the place you need to head. Just saying.
Well, now if I want to get rid of luggage, I know where to go.
Yes.
So, noted.
Yes, you do. They struggle a bit.
Yeah, they have some baggage issues, yes. Now, I guess before we let you go, Jennifer, again, I started the show by, okay, I'm searching for airfares. The prices are like, oh, for goodness sakes. Now, your group, as I'm looking at your website, all right, you don't like pick favorite airlines and so on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How can somebody find affordable airfares anymore? Because it doesn't seem like, I'll call them the major airlines, all right, American, United, Delta, you know, so on. It's like they don't run promotions anymore. Right, like zero.
Right.
Meanwhile, some of these other ones, like, I don't know, Allegiant or a Breeze and some others, they seem to occasionally, I guess, run promotions and so on.
Yeah.
How do people find an affordable airfare? What do they do?
Well, I mean, just look for affordable airfare. You mentioned Allegiant, Breeze, there's Avelo Airlines, there's Frontier Airlines. And just go and subscribe to their newsletter, and you'll receive, or just subscribe to their mailing list, rather, and you'll receive updates every day on promotions. I know I received an email earlier today for a promotion through Avelo. I think it was $34. For a one-way ticket somewhere. But also utilize Google Flights. You know, as I mentioned, that is a fantastic tool. And it really does track prices. And there's a tab on there that you can click for the cheapest rates. So that's that. I use Google Flights often, and I recommend that to consumers. You'll find really great deals there. But also fly on low-fare airlines. I mean, they are the ones offering the low fares. They are the ones keeping the economy affordable.
Do you know, because different people will tell me different things, and is there even a general guideline as to the timeout from your flight that is best to book to get those low fares? Like, it doesn't do you any good if it's like, all right, I'm looking for the low fare. Boy, that's low. And then a week later it starts going up and it keeps going up. It's like, oh, I missed it. Like, I know this isn't going to be an exact science, but generally speaking, like, is like 6 months out, 3 months out, is there a general sweet spot area where it's like, all right, your best deal for a flight, you know, on X date is going to be, again, 2 months before, 8 months before. Is there any general consensus on that?
Yeah, there's not really a general rule, but if you do book months out, you will see the cheaper rates, and you can secure those rates at that time.
Okay.
So if you can travel, if you know you're going to travel months out, I would recommend securing your flights, you know, now for those dates.
Yeah.
And also remember that, you know, when low-cost carriers enter a new market, fares drop 20% or more, that even just in that first year. So, again, supporting that sector of the industry is important to continue to maintain that affordability in air travel.
Jennifer, is it possible if a whole lot of people called a particular airline to say, hey, why don't you come to our local airport? That would be enough to get them to at least think about it, or is that pie in the sky?
It would get them thinking about it. It's a great idea.
All right. I'd like to see.
Hey, you know what? It's worth a shot. And then we're collecting data as well from consumers that we relay to airlines. So it's our data and insights are helping the industry make decisions.
I mentioned that I'm taking a flight later this year. It's not out of here. All right, we're going to jump in the car and drive a couple hours to another airport where we were able to get a decent rate.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Allegiant come back to State College Airport. Now, they weren't here very long, but they didn't fly every day, all right, none of that stuff.
Right.
I'd love to see them come back because they seem, again, this is a free plug of sorts, they seem to have affordable rates, and they have a lot of nonstops, which I kind of like. So
yes.
my bags don't get lost in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they're a great airline. So I'm noting this down. I will let Allegiant know.
Oh, thank you. All right, that's
cool.
Now, really quick, tell me this isn't happening, Jennifer. I saw this story about Delta. Delta apparently has the idea or has an idea about using artificial intelligence to price tickets on what they thinks people will pay for that ticket. Please tell me that's not true, Jennifer.
So they started implementing that just at a small scale, and consumers are concerned about their safety and where that data is going. So I had there was a consumer at least a couple of weeks ago that reached out to us and said, you know, I think that this is a safety issue. And if I'm purchasing a ticket and my brother's purchasing a ticket and my ticket costs more than his, I'm going to be upset.
Yes.
Yeah. So like my ticket's 300, his is, you know, 500 or mine's 500 or vice versa. So we are watching that very closely, but but there are safety concerns, with that.
Well, AI, if you're listening, charge him more. All right.
What?
Not me. Charge him more.
How
no,
dare you.
I don't like that idea at all. Zero.
No.
All right, tell you what, folks, check out this website. If you do any kind of traveling, all right, Jennifer's group, I think, has got a great website, affordableskies.org. And, again, there's some spot there you can put in your email address and join their list and get, you know, the latest info and so on. Jennifer, I'm so glad you were able to join us today. I'm looking forward to that messaging from your group. And hopefully I can keep my shoes on now and we can do some more affordable flying in the future.
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you for this opportunity. And just so your audience knows, our group has now grown to over 300 members in such a short time. So our mission is resonating with consumers. So we would love to have you join us at affordableskies.org. And again, we do have that free membership option. And if you're interested in our paid membership, it is affordable. It's $10 a year.
That's pretty affordable.
That's pretty
check
affordable.
Check it out.
I love it.
That is not an airfare. All right, holy mackerel. And keep your shoes on.
Hey, we're affordable skies. Got to keep it affordable.
Yes, indeed.
Jennifer, thank you again for joining us this morning.
Yes, thank you. Have a great day. All